part three of the NBA Over-Unders extravaganza with Russillo and House. How are we still going? It's next. It's the Bill Simmons podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer partner of the NBA. It's just what you need to sit back and enjoy the game. And they're also getting fans closer to the game than ever. You can win exclusive NBA prizes like courtside seats, signed memorabilia, and more. I love Michelob because of how light it is. It's only 95 calories with 2.6 carbs. You know what the perfect time for Michelob Ultra is? A little doubleheader, a little NBA doubleheader. Right at first half of the first game. I don't know, West Coast time, that's usually about 5 o'clock, 5:30, perfect time for a beer. You can do it. Grab a pack to enjoy today. Learn more and enter for your chance to win at MichelobUltra.com/courtside, LDA 21 and up. All right, we're brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. If you missed part one and part two, we did the entire Western Conference plus Milwaukee's division in the East. This is going to be part three, the Atlantic, as well as whatever the hell Miami's division is called. And then we're going to give you our locks for the season of all the over-unders that we did. Joe House here. Ryan Russillo is here. One more time. Pearl Jam. All right, guys. Boston Celtics, 54.5. They're plus 165 for the one seed, plus 380 for the title, plus 175 for the conference. They were 57-25 last year. This just instinctively feels like an over to me, but I don't trust myself because it's my favorite team. But I do think like the Holiday White thing is going to be awesome. And there's a lot of ways to talk about this team. What's the number one thing you're looking at, Russillo?
Their guys play. I mean, other than Porzingis, their guys play. Yeah. So that's why they feel like a safer over for one of the highest projected teams of any number you can find. So, you know, usually somebody wins a conference like mid to high 50s and considering
like a 58, right, 59, 60 range.
So I love the depth. I love the versatility. Porzingis scares the shit out of me. But even without him, I think they win a lot of games.
House, there was this moment, the first preseason game, they put Porzingis in the corner in the Al Horford spot. And Tatum had the ball or somebody had it, and they swung around and they threw it to him. He was open. But then somebody closed out on him. But he's 7'3" and he just shot a wide open three over the guy. And I was like, oh. I just think this is a nice spot for Porzingis. I have no idea if he can play healthy. And they're going to post him up and they're going to use – he's going to have these incredible defensive guards. All he's going to have to do is protect the rim. I'm sure there's going to be a couple teams that try to pound him and exploit him. What did you see from him last year that makes you think – he could be the missing piece for a Boston Celtics title?
His versatility. He absolutely gets it going sometimes. And you can kind of tell right away,
yeah,
if he's in his rhythm. And he surprisingly would go down and mix it up a little bit. Now, defensively, he can't be under the basket. If he's under the basket, it's a bucket. He's a guaranteed bucket against.
Who was the guy who coached him last year? Vucevic
absolutely, yeah, annihilated him.
Yeah, that Bulls game. I'm telling you,
they just parked him down below there and let Vucevic put him in the torture chamber, and he did it. The biggest question mark to me isn't the fit of Porzingis, because I think it'll work great. Like you know, he I'll knock on wood for it. He should be like not in harm's way with the construction of this team and that roster. The question to me with the Celtics, and the only like hesitation, reservation I have, what's the defensive identity? You lost the two stalwarts, the real, plus Grant Williams. I mean, I know Grant Williams and Joe Mazz couldn't get on the same page. They couldn't figure out,
yeah,
you know, the right role for Williams. But those were like tough guys, tough attitudes.
Right.
They got out to the extended to the perimeter. They had the commitment to do that. What's the defensive identity of this team?
Well, Drew's a better defender than Smart is.
I think. And it's not even
no
close.
Argument. Right. No argument so, whatsoever.
And White is too.
White is better than Smart, I think, too. Okay.
Would you say those are the two best defensive perimeter guards in the league?
Caruso.
And Caruso.
Yeah, I think Caruso might be better. You could argue he might be better than both of them.
Yeah, but they're in the discussion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some people like look at White as just being too small, and Miami was looking to attack him, and sometimes it looked like it was like, oh, wait, White's just overmatched at this level when it matters. But I think, you know, the most basic thing you're asking for from your perimeter guys is like, just don't screw it up by not knowing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And White is definitely smart with that. Like, look, the Rob Williams part of it, it's a luxury, but I'm telling you, every time, every few weeks he would land and you'd go, oh, he's hurt. No, he's not hurt. Wait, he's hurt. He's playing. I can't tell if he's hurt or not. Like, it's, I'm just telling Portland fans, like, get used to it because it's constant. And if your team is trying to win a championship and you're banking on him being healthy all the time,
what would you
really
compare him to for a purchase in Manhattan Beach, like a golf cart that keeps breaking down? It seems like an awesome idea to have a golf cart.
I think it is a lot like the golf cart, but not because it's breaking down. It's like, well, hey, I don't drive drunk, but it's a golf cart. Right? So you're like, I'm not really doing anything wrong. It's just a golf cart. How fast can I go?
Rob Williams, the golf cart.
Right.
I think their defensive identity is the Drew, Derek White, and Tatum, who I think is going to play really hard this year because I think he's excited that this is his team. I think he is an MVP candidate. I'm not going to pick it, but I think this team's going to really give a shit in the regular season. And I think there's going to be an attitude and identity with them because they have a bunch of guys who play hard.
After what happened last year, losing to Miami, there's no reason, like, who are they to think that they can just mail it in this year and then see what happens? They should be furious about what happened.
They also have a bunch of bench guys that I think are going to give a shit. Like Pritchard, who they paid, but I think Pritchard is... I don't think it's going to happen, but you don't think Pritchard is as the sixth man of the year conversation with people in a circle? Like, I think I could do it. 25 minutes a game. Yeah, I'm going to be a top five three-point shooter. Like, Pritchard's an irrational confidence guy. I like Brissett. I think Jordan Walsh is going to be a fan favorite. I think their bench is going to come in and swing some home games. I don't trust it on the road as much, but the top six is great. Horford should not play more than 1,200 minutes max. I would just keep him in the garage with one of those car covers on.
What they got from him last year. But you could even see then him being so good all last year. Like, I don't know if that's why he was on fumes at the end. But that was a big win.
He couldn't move in the playoffs. Or he couldn't move against Miami.
He couldn't make any shots.
Russillo, if they're wrong about Joe Mazzulla, is that the biggest mistake anyone made this summer? Because if they're wrong about him, they basically went all in and they said it was everybody else's fault. And if we just get this guy.
Well, did they say that?
They basically said it.
I don't know. Does that mean they believe it? You know, I think I just don't know how you can do that job the first year and not be making mistakes all the time.
Especially like with barely any assistance.
Right.
That's the point.
Like, how about Jeff Van Gundy in the mix?
Well, this is a whole thing.
Guy.
Look at what they did assistant coach wise. This is what one of the bits of research I did was like, let's be honest. Yeah. But I wanted to see how they built this up because I'm genuinely curious about forecasting the Celtics team. It was this Jeff Van Gundy thing, which was funny, senior advisor, but they brought in Sam Cassell.
And Charles Lee.
Charles
Lee. Everybody loves.
Really good.
Yeah.
Right? The first assistant under Coach Bud on the 21 winning Bucks team. And then Emile Jefferson, Tatum's guy from Duke, Phil Presley, like that's you know, doing it right. It wasn't their fault that Ime had the issue that he had.
And they get rid of Smart and they get rid of Grant, who were the two guys that he clashed with last year. So they have cleared the fucking runway for this guy. They plowed all the snow off it. They changed the plane tires and they gave this guy a nice plane. And we're going to find out if he's a good coach or not, because I have no idea if he is or not. I don't. And Russillo doesn't either.
I will tell you that there are people that I trust that really do like him.
Yeah.
But there were a few too many moments late in the season where, you know, I don't really love being super critical of the coaches because I feel like there's all this stuff going on that we don't know about. But when the coach makes it easy to second guess him with some of the stuff And you're like, what the fuck's going on? But I'm a big blame the player guys. Like, they were pathetic against Miami to close those first two games. And then in game three, you're going, like, where's the pride? And then the pride actually shows
game
up
two
later.
Is the inexcusable one to me when Butler was just punking them and then everybody got mad at Grant Williams after. Listen, they're out of excuses. This is a 7-year run now, and they have, if not the most talented team, one of the most talented teams. Yeah. Tatum's 26. This is right at the time of his career and of a normal NBA star's career where you're supposed to peak 26, 27, 20, 29. Jaylen Brown got paid. Porzingis is in the single best basketball situation he's ever been in. And they have stuff to trade, too. They have picks that they can still move around. And if they want to get slightly better, they will. They're spending a stupendous amount of money on this team. This team is like a Golden State Warriors level expenditure. But it's hard not to be super pumped. I'll just tell you this. You guys know this because we've certainly all talked about it enough. But I couldn't watch that team play offense in the playoffs anymore. The team that they had, I just couldn't do it. They had to change something. I didn't know they would be as aggressive as they were, but I'm glad they were. I think they had to be that way. You can't be like, no, we're good every year, because as we laid out last spring, the NBA, you can't just assume it's going to keep going. You got to get aggressive. Unfortunately, the Philadelphia 76ers can't say the same. And their over-under is 47.5, and it's dropped two wins, and I still like the under. This is a mess. House, can they save the season? Just, I hope they don't do this, but if this Harden thing is unfixable, like, is there a scenario where they just move on from Daryl to try to save it? Because I feel like that scenario exists.
How does that help them?
I don't know. Like, what else do you do? You have this Embiid window.
Well, if they reach the conclusion that by getting rid of Daryl, then Harden will stay. And that he will be happy.
And be engaged for a year?
Well, they would have to, like, dangle the extension that he thought he was getting. Like, they'd have to put that back on the table.
If they do that, they should sell the team.
Well, I just have a hard time believing that the ownership's going, Daryl, we should pay him. And he's like, sorry.
Good point.
Right? So, cosmetically, I guess, but that would then mean you would have to pay him. And I wouldn't want to pay him. I would go back. I would have that right side drive in game 7 in Boston and see Harden go, I don't want to be here. And I'd go, this is why we're not paying him.
You know what's funny? Russell's going to miss Harden. When it's all over and Harden's retired, Russell's going to, you know what? It was really fun to just.
I'm not.
Just complain about that
I'm
guy.
Not, because a lot of it's the way he was officiated. And I look back, I regret those hours. I regret all the hours that I put in.
Do you think Joel Embiid's saying the same thing? When does he say, get me out of here?
The Joel only Embiid. Thing that matters for Philadelphia is just divining Joel Embiid's intentions and trying to figure out the best possible path to keeping him.
Yeah, because we can think Daryl is stubborn, and I give him a lot of credit. You know, you moved off of Ben Simmons, who doesn't even play for Harden. You had a chance. You know, there was a stretch last year where you're like, hey, look, they're in the conversation if something were to go their way. I think we all agree, as we touched on earlier, Embiid kind of gets this collective pass about not being that successful in the playoffs, where other guys with his profile would start really getting beat up on the talk shows. I mean, it doesn't mean like, hey guys, let's remind ourselves this year to shit on Embiid more, because I like him. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't really wanted to do that. But there's some real proof that, like, some of the stuff I would say about Westbrook not getting out of the first round, like, I could apply it the same way to Embiid. And the idea, too, that if you have an old traditional center initiating your offense in crunch time playoff possessions, does the game even work that way anymore?
Especially over the course of 2 weeks when you just get to watch
every single thing.
400 minutes of it whatever it is.
And he's a
being,
little late on the doubles. There's still some stuff with him where I'm like, man, how can you not feel some of this pressure and all these different things happening? So, look, as much as we're sifting through the Embiid part of this, and Daryl will be like, my price is my price. And, you know, all this different stuff, there may be a play here where with Simmons, it wasn't dire enough, where it could be dire enough that, like, there may be a move initiated based exactly, House, on what you said about, like, making sure Embiid realizes we're on his side in this more so than hanging out for every last asset.
It would be interesting if Embiid just came out and was like, I'm fucking tired of this. I really want to win a title and they've got to fix this.
I wonder how that would be, because part of it you would go, yeah. You.
But I mean direct it toward Harden and be like, you know what, man, you opted in. Like, we were really good last year and the East is worse. Like, let's try to win a title together. Stop bitching about all this other stuff. Like, we're right here. We should have beaten Boston last year.
You have to play better. You opted in.
Like, yeah. You opted in, dude.
You want to make this money.
They got rid of the coach that you wanted them to get rid of.
Right.
They brought in Nick Nurse, who won a title 4 or 5 years ago.
I think that very same conversation you guys are sort of walking through could be the other way. Like, him going to management and saying, do what it takes to keep James. I like James. James made me the mother effing MVP of the league. We got very far into
He feels this way, though.
Well, I don't think he feels this way.
This is the question. This is what I'm saying. You got to divine his intentions.
Did you watch game six and game seven of the Boston series?
He was hurt. He's going to say
James Harden was, or Embiid?
No, Embiid.
So did you see the James Harden part?
But James Harden carried them into game six and game seven. They weren't in that.
Two good games.
There was no competition otherwise without James Harden.
This is the James Harden truth.
I'm trying to tell you what the other side of this might look like, but it's all up to Embiid. It's Joel Embiid's call. If he went to Maury and said, get it done with James Harden and let's go to war. I mean, Nick Nurse, I think, could figure out a way to make this work. Have you seen some of the stuff coming from there where they're...
It's like kind of veiled doc shots.
Yeah.
It's like a lot more movement this year.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to be in an offense where the ball moves around. Like, it's just like subtle little.
No, I'm looking forward to Harden off the ball cutting
stuff.
Yeah.
It was Doc holding him back.
Yeah. Now, Harden's, I mean, you know, he moves like a lot Ginobili like, where he moves without the ball.
I just love when, like, they used to do the same shit with LeBron. Be like, oh, now he's. You can get out, like push.
Yeah,
the
get
tempo.
Out. He's going to run way more.
Right, like he's way more athletes, and it's like actually he's one of the slower paced guys because he's so good at dissecting what happens. So you can talk about whatever you want to do. The guy's going to default back to what he's comfortable with. So that's what basketball is,
especially as you get older.
Yeah,
Philly owns their own first round pick this year, but they can't really trade it because they have a protected pick to OKC in 25, and then another protected pick to Brooklyn in 27. They have their own first in 29 and 30. They don't really have a lot of avenues to improve this team. I still feel like they should have gone after Dame because, as I said, when it was happening, like, I just thought they had a 2 or 3 year window here with Embiid. And I think the window might have slammed shut.
So you would have done Maxey and.
I would have. I would have tried to trade Maxey to a third team, tried to get those picks and just tried to figure out some sort of package to try to get Dame with and put him with Embiid and see if I have a better chance. But I think they're thinking we can turn Harden into more stuff, keep Maxey. I just don't think they're going to be able to turn Harden into more stuff. I don't think there's a deal for him.
I wonder how much the Simmons thing motivates Morey to go like, well, look, everybody, remember?
Yeah.
Like other GMs would have given in. Other GMs would say, hey, we just need to turn the page on this thing. He waited and waited and waited.
But ironically, the difference is Harden is like one of the great saboteurs we've ever had in any sport. Like Ben Simmons just went to London and went to clubs and
he disappeared.
He checked out.
James Harden just like, Clutch will save me
on this.
He's not disappearing.
Harden's like, I'm going to be here and you guys are all going to be fucking miserable. And every like 3 days, I'm going to do something because he knows how to do this. So,
but it's different though, because he still is hoping for the contract.
That's true.
Unless he thinks, that's why I just can't wait. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. Like, is he going to actually sabotage the situation to get out then while also demanding a new deal worth $180 million?
He also doesn't seem to understand that the other 29 teams in the league have watched the behavior, right? So it's like if you have some neighbor and they had a dog and you saw the dog attack multiple neighbors, right? And the neighbor came to you and was like, do you want to adopt my dog? Really nice looking German Shepherd. I'm like, no.
Talking about Biden's dog?
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, I know we don't talk politics
Commander?
A lot on this pod.
Commander Biden? Yeah. Biden comes to you. It's like, hey, Commander
Joe,
needs a home.
Can we talk about your dog?
He bit at least 11 Secret Service agents. But yeah, I mean, at some point, the behavior is the behavior. And the other team see this. And like, well, we trade for this guy. Well, what if he becomes unhappy in 3 months?
No, you're right. But I think when you're really this special and you've been this special at something for this long and it's actually gone your way so many times.
People just talk themselves into it.
Yeah. And I also think, like, look, there's a sense around the league, too, that the agents that he's working with, like if you had a Clutch, if you had one of the like the real foundational agents,
who,
then maybe
who
like
used
this
their
is
power.
This is the part of the agent game that most of us overlook or don't understand. Is that like when there's a guy who's really valuable to a team, that opens up doors for like the agent to have power with that team.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, everyone looked at Lamar Jackson's deal and said, oh, remember all of you that said he needed an agent? It's like, well, he still didn't really get what he wanted. He wanted to be traded. And if you want to be traded, you have to have something that your agent can like barter, meaning other clients or hey, down the road. Because as you know, and I know you hate it, and we argue about it all the time, like there are simply just transactions done where the team does the agent a favor. And it probably doesn't come back to pay them back as much as they would hope, but they still keep that line of communication open. So if you're trying to manipulate this a third time and not have the agent that maybe has the most intense client list, it's an even harder thing to pull off here.
Yeah.
While on top
of it, a really good point,
not being as desired as he was in the past.
They started 9-9 last year, House, and went 45-19, won 54 games. They were basically the team with the best record in the league for the last three-fourths of the season. Harden missed 24 games. Maxey missed 22. Embiid missed 16.
That's a ton of wins for how many games.
Yeah.
So it's dropped enough that I'm not positive it's a lock for me. It was a lock at 49.5 because I was like, they're not winning 50 games. That's ludicrous. But the 47.5 in a bad conference, it's still a hard under for me. You guys are under?
It's a bit like my Kings, or excuse me, it's a lot like my Clippers pick, where I'm not going to be wrong on the over.
Right.
Knowing what could potentially happen here.
Yeah. And there's, what, a 4-1 chance Embiid gets mad in January, and it's like, you know what, we've run our course here.
Yeah, but if Daryl's still the GM, that doesn't mean anything. You're not just going to trade him for nothing. I just think, like, oh, hey, we're going into it, or we're not quite sure which way James Harden's leaning. Mm-hmm. Then how do you take the over?
Knicks, 45.5, and we're going to talk about them right after this break. Get ready to start the NFL week off right. Right now, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay for Thursday Night Football. Just place a three-leg same-game parlay in this week's game between the Saints and the Jags, and you'll get bonus bets back if you don't win. You know what else you can do on FanDuel, by the way? Jags Saints, fun game to bet on. But you know what's really fun? NBA Future Boost, which we've been doing basically for three parts now on the BS podcast. I mentioned how we have Celtics 50+, Lakers 45+, OKC 40+. They're going to boost. Go check their website. It's going to be boosted, I think, in the +250 range. You know what else you can do on FanDuel, by the way, my friends? Profit boosts on any NBA futures bet from Tuesday until tip. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Profit boost, House. Outside of the boost, the customers can apply the profit boost to any other of their favorite future bets that they hear on the pod. How easy is that? Doesn't that sound fantastic? That's what happens when you check out FanDuel, the top-rated sportsbook app, where they have SGPs, future bets. FanDuel.com/BS. Go there. You don't miss out on your chance to get a no-sweat same-game parlay on Thursday night if you're excited about that on America's number one sportsbook. Don't forget to check out our TV shows as well, including Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend and Wise Guys on FanDuel TV. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner in the NFL. You must be 21+ and present in select states. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer partner of the NBA. It's just what you need to sit back and enjoy the game. And they're also getting fans closer to the game than ever. You can win exclusive NBA prizes like courtside seats, signed memorabilia, and more. I love Michelob because of how light it is. It's only 95 calories with 2.6 carbs. You know what the perfect time for Michelob Ultra is? A little doubleheader, a little NBA doubleheader. Right at first half of the first game. I don't know, West Coast time, that's usually about 5 o'clock, 5:30, perfect time for a beer. You can do it. Grab a pack to enjoy today. Learn more and enter for your chance to win at MichelobUltra.com/courtside, LDA 21 and up. All right, the Knicks were 47-35 last year, and the over-under for them, for some reason, has dropped by 1.5, even though the conference got worse. They had the pretty much exact same team they had last year. They added DiVincenzo. And they signed Josh Hart, and it just seems, I don't know why their record would be worse. I guess the question for me is, what's the next move for this team? Because they don't have enough to win a title. They're kind of on the hold for, can they get Giannis? Can they get Mitchell? What if Embiid becomes available? So it's this two parallel paths of, we're a really good 4 or 5 seed, but we're probably not getting it at a round two. But we're also kind of asset maintaining all these dudes in case something bigger happens. That makes me a little nervous with the over-under, but Russillo, I'm going over 45.5. I think this is at least a 46-win team.
Yeah, it's part of the Tibbs deal where at some point last year, it felt like he was done. That was definitely had a lot of momentum.
For like 2 weeks.
When you think about like certain things you'll hear over the course of a season, it looked like his days were numbered. Not even the case. Jalen Brunson was so far beyond, like, we knew he was good. This was absurd what he did to the Cavs in the playoffs. And, you know, you look at him and go, okay, well, who's that number two that makes them good enough to feel like they're in that first tier of the East? They're just not. They're not. But their 1 through 8 is pretty good. And, you know, I hate to bring him up again because I spent so much time on him, too much time on him last year. But I think the hope is that Barrett is something that's either tradable or is the defining number 2-3 guy with Julius
Randle. Nice playoff Randle. Stuff with him, though, that I think we both liked.
Yeah, but the shooting
good games.
Across the board was down dramatically. Yeah. I mean, he was 40% from 3 2 years ago. He was 31% with a 34 in between that. And, you know, look, I brought it up constantly. I thought it was really weird, like, the way they would sub him out.
Yeah.
They were doing kind of the LaMelo, like, yeah, sure, you're playing in the fourth quarter, buddy, but you aren't. And they would get weird on the patterns there. I just, for them to feel better about their situation, he needs to finally put it together at 23, which usually this means 4 seasons in, this is who he is, or that he does enough that he's actually valuable enough for whatever that next move is. But good luck.
House, they started 10-13. They finished 37-22, which is a hell of a 50-win pace. And everybody's back. Why aren't we going over with this team?
I think that we are.
Okay.
I love the 17-8 that they went with Josh Hart. I love what, you know, there's a force multiplier kind of effect with this team in terms of when Hart arrived, it delivered an identity to the team.
Yep.
And then this DiVincenzo addition, which is like, he feels like, yeah, great. But no, that's another Villanova guy. And there's a whole thing going on, like a whole subtext of this rallying. Like the town loves this team. And they got to figure out what happens with Julius Randle, but they have tons of flexibility in terms of picks and talent to land. You know, if Toronto decides to be a seller, I expect the Knicks to be all in on this. So they're a super over for me this year.
Randle's last 5 years, 22-10-4, 1 second team All-NBA, 1 third team All-NBA. And he only missed 33 games. There's a case he's like the most underrated guy in the league. Nobody's like, you know, I fucking love Julius Randle. You know, and
I fell out of love with him in the Miami series.
Yeah, I know. But he was also, then it turned out he was playing on a bad enough ankle that they had to have surgery for it, you know? So.
You're right. Because whenever we do the All-NBA stuff, I'm like, wait, I think
he's
I have to vote him.
Anything.
Right, yeah, I have to vote him in. And then you're right, he plays all the time. I mean, look, there was that year where he was going to be eligible for a contract extension and he took the money instead of waiting it out like another year, but it was still such a huge number that you're like, okay, it kind of makes sense. And then when he did it, it was like, oh, it was good that he did it because he had taken a dip down. He's just always a strange player. He's just always going to be a strange, like, wow, that guy's numbers are way better than I think they are. But in a big game, am I actually afraid of Julius Randle? And the answer's probably no.
You had Shamit face that you created.
Yeah.
Randle face is like a different kind of face. Like he's one of those guys, he'd almost be better playing with a hockey mask. So we wouldn't see he's got expressions that just make you think things are going badly or he's unhappy or, but it's just kind of his face.
It's a great call. Cause Shamit face has a face that you'd be willing to like overlook. You're like, well, that guy can't be good. I mean, I'm sorry.
You have to win me over because
right.
I don't trust your face.
Randle face just shares too much. Cause like when it's not going right and he's in the building, like that got really weird at points last year where it felt like the city and the crowd was turning on him. And look, I know that he was hurt, but I would say that there were enough moments where he could do stuff in that Miami series. It's like, okay, so you're hurt when all the bad things are happening, but you're healthy enough when all the good things are happening there. So
maybe he grows a giant beard, like a hardened beard. They have a lot of first round picks. They have all their own picks. Dallas is protected first, top 10. Detroit's protected first, top 18, top 13, top 11, top 9. Those are the protections. Washington's first, top 12 next year. I think you'll be keeping that one house.
We're keeping that one.
Top 10 and 25, top 8 and 26. And then they have Milwaukee's first, top 4 protected. So they can mobilize pretty fast with some packages and some things.
It'd be funny if the Mitchell thing, well, I don't think the Cavs would do that way, especially knowing like with Mitchell. I mean, Mitchell would have to force the issue. So Mitchell would have to say, hey, with a 1-1 left, I'm out of here, which is a little different than if you're just going to straight up be a free agent.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how many times you're going to keep reading the Knicks are monitoring Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, this has been going on for like 5 years.
I don't even think it's true. They're run by Kentucky people, and I think they...
Well, yeah, but that was the thing, is that supposedly like all this was going to pay off.
Yeah.
And it, you know, they've done a really good job with what they have to this point, but landing that big guy. And they could have done the Mitchell trade. They didn't. I don't think they believed they had enough competition for it. So they thought they're going to maybe get their way. And look, they end up eliminating the guy. You know, when going into that series last year, I was like, come on, Cleveland's going to be better than New York. And it was kind of humiliating the way they beat Cleveland, I thought.
You know who I think is going to have a huge year? Fournier. No, I didn't. Just found a wake up for someone. Brooklyn Nets, 37.5. They are plus 152 for the playoffs. I personally think they blew it not going for Dame Lillard. So here's where it gets tough, because I don't like this team and they are making Ben Simmons the point forward. And Spencer Dinwiddie has had some thoughts about this already. He's positive about it. But, you know, he had the car keys last year and now Ben's going to have the car keys. So he's going to have to learn to adjust off the ball.
And we had workout videos posted again.
Yeah. There's been some workout videos. They don't have their first round pick this year. It goes to Houston. So they don't have really any incentive to be bad. But I also don't think they're very good. You're talking Dinwiddie, Simmons, Miles Bridges, Cam Johnston, Nick Claxton, Finney-Smith's in there, O'Neal. They're fine. It's a perfectly Lonnie Walker's in there now. Perfectly serviceable team. Is it okay if I just never believe in Ben Simmons again?
Yeah,
it
was funny.
I'd believe in my Ben Simmons, but I'm not going to believe in the other Ben Simmons.
Because I was thinking about like clean slate program. Like, could we just each have three guys where you go, we have to be clean slate. We can't bring up any of the shit anymore.
So Randall would be a good one for you for clean slate program.
No, because when I did that deep dive on him where I just watched him for an entire Miami game, because I was having like a hard time with that series where I go, I'm just going to watch him. And boy, did I end up not liking him after a couple of those games. But yeah, if I just said Ben Simmons, clean slate program, I can't bring up anything in the past. I have to go in with a totally like...
open mind.
I have to be like an NBA writer that does a profile on him.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, this guy gets it. It's right around the corner.
Right.
Could you do it? Could you do it with Russell Westbrook? I think Westbrook's like, you can't do it anymore. Harden, I would not allow that content to be taken from me. Could you do a clean slate deal with Ben Simmons starting now? I challenge you.
Don't know how he looks athletically yet, because the guy that played for the Sixers until the fateful Atlanta series was just athletically a specimen who I think was one of the best athletes in the league and was an awesome defensive player. And is that guy still exist? So if you're telling me that guy's back and mentally there's some stuff going on, but at least the athlete part is back, I could talk myself into it. I just don't know. When somebody doesn't play for, how many years was that? 2.5?
Well, yeah, I mean, kind of. I mean, I think
you're going spring of 2021, throw away the 22, 23, he was a zombie. So it's been...
It's literally an all-time, I don't know. You have no,
but we
way
might
to,
know. There might, deep down, we all might know.
The big question is, does he like to play professional basketball?
I'm really glad you asked that. The answer has been probably not for a while here.
Doesn't seem like it.
No.
But what if he decides that he does?
He's really good.
He's young.
He's really good at saying all the right things when basketball isn't scheduled. Like August, great quotes.
Look, if it were just his health, that'd be one thing. I think he is mentally shot.
Yeah.
No coming back. Right. He's a kid, though.
He...
Well, that determines the over-under, because if you don't think he's going to be good for them this year, I don't see how they hit the over. I don't think
he was still getting
35-47 team.
You remember, I think it was a Boston game where he had a million assists in the first half, and they actually took him out of the rotation to close the game because it was getting a little tighter.
Yeah.
And he was starting to revert to, I don't really want to make decisions here with the ball. And they ended up yanking him from him. Now, if that's because of his back, okay, that's what he tells us. Yeah. All the time, and that he's back, he's ready to go. I think the biggest thing with Brooklyn here is they built up so much equity despite the weird turnover they had with Kyrie. And they were 11, 12 games over 500. They make that trade. They basically play like 3 to 4 games under 500 with this group
for like
the rest
25
of the way,
games. Yeah.
But they still held on to a 6 seed. Yeah. So I think the overplay.
Jedi mind trick.
Yeah. So I'm going under.
Yeah. That I came to the same conclusion because that. That one KD Kyrie stretch skewed their record, and I think they're a 35-win team.
Not we kept thinking they were going to fall apart, but their record was already like built in to protect against it, and then everybody else around that seeding was you know a game or two or below 500.
I really like Mikal Bridges, but if he's your number one guy and the last guy in the Jumbotron video as you're introducing the starters, the guy who's got the talcum powder, he's like, yeah, and blows it out, and then fireworks go off. I'm not that excited about my team. And again, I really like Mikal Bridges. But
I love
to
him.
Me, that's
think
35
great.
Wins. And that's your guy.
He's showing the ceiling for him is even further than what we thought it could be.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
He's like, I would put him above Jaylen Brown. But if Jaylen Brown was the best guy in this Brooklyn Nets team, I would think they're going to win 34 games. So there you go. House, you're in on the under as well?
Yeah, I'm in on the under.
Okay. I feel bad.
I can't invest in Din Shitty.
Wow.
Well, that's some Washington bad blood.
That's
stuff.
Right. You're right about that.
This would have been a fun Dame team. I like how it worked out. It's more fun to have him on Milwaukee, but it would have been fun if they just said fuck it and went after him. Toronto, 36.5. They have a new coach.
New attitude.
They replaced Van Vliet. They replaced Van Vliet with Dennis Schroeder. Kind of not against it.
Okay.
They brought in Grady Dick. They owe a top 6 protected first to San Antonio. So the question is, how good do you want to be? Does that mean they'll tank? My guess is they're probably going to try to be good. And I kind of like the team. They're 41-41 last year. I don't understand why it's 5 wins worse when really the only thing that changed was they turned Van Vliet into Schroeder. And again, I kind of like Schroeder. I thought he was good on the Lakers last year. Their chemistry was clearly off. They clearly needed a coach change. Russillo, it's an over for me. And I have them in the playoffs, I think.
I'm going under.
Okay, let's hear it.
I do think Van Vliet was that important. Although Van Vliet's a weird player where there's all these other like baked in advanced stats that tell you he's actually like terrible.
Well, the problem is they had such bad luck in the clutch last year. And it was like, maybe they had bad luck because Fred Van Vliet was deciding every game for them playing against like Steph Curry and Nikola Jokic.
I also think there was some like massive 3-point percentage number against them that was like absurd. Yeah. So that would speak to your over call in all this. But, I think Van Vliet was just really, really steady for him. And Schroeder, I've had about 7 different relationships with.
We've never been better, me and Dennis. We broke up. He moved out. He's back in. We're doing great.
A lot of the young guys that I've liked on this team, like, I needed to be better. It's kind of like a collective Evan Mobley team.
Yeah.
Where there's a couple dudes. Like, OG Anunoby's going into the Hall of Fame, obviously, for who he won't be traded for. And I think we all kind of like him, but like some of the stuff you'd hear about, like who he wasn't offered for, you're like, wait, is there another one that I'm not aware of?
Well, you have a lot of Barnstock.
I do, but.
And he wasn't good last year what we thought.
Yeah. I'm also like willing to admit, hey, I got to see like some of the stuff. Like, what do you go to that's really tough to defend? Mm. Not, hey, do you get 15 shots a game? Do you have something that's really tough? And, you know, I think he and Mobley, it'd be nice if we saw something this year.
What do you got, House?
I mentioned in part one about how I'm a petty better and I really don't forgive easily when a team burns me. Uh-oh. And this team underperformed by such a significant amount last year. And I'm sick of their shit, to be honest with you. Having said all that, I'm on the over because I think that they are a 37-win team with the talent. Well, yeah. The problem is that they had an identity, and it was a successful identity, and they could be a 45 or 46-win team in the East if they maintain that identity. For whatever reason, they decided, it seems, as a group, to not continue to bang the hell out of the offensive boards, to push their perimeter defense yeah. all the way out, to play relentlessly. They had this collection of guys, nobody that was taller than 6'10".
Yeah.
And that was the game plan, and it really worked. They had 45 or 46 wins. They came in last year, forecasted around that, slightly under it. I was like, wait a minute. I love the way that this team plays. Nick Nurse has them cooking. They have a good identity. They're an inside-outside kind of team. And collectively, for whatever reason, they're like, eh, fuck it. This is too hard. I don't want to do this anymore. And they stopped playing the kind of relentless defense that they had, you know, the previous season.
They got really surly. Like, Siakam was always pissed about stuff, it felt like. And then...
Would
like,
you see the Masai quotes about, we were selfish last year? And he was basically, you know, and that's what needs to change? It's like, who are you talking about? Every basketball team is run by four people.
One of the best, like, preparation guys, adjustment guys. Like, other basketball people rave about Nick Nurse all the time. So yeah. I kind of wanted to go over, you know? Like,
yeah.
There's no way they're that far off from 40 wins or whatever, but I just don't know why in a first year, a new guy coming in, like, this could be the part of the demise for the Raptors, where it's like, you know, they had these pieces that were left over. Lowry's gone, Van Vliet's gone, maybe it's Siakam, and these younger players that I've all kind of liked. I'll throw Precious in the mix, too.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I mean, eventually I ask myself, like, how come you still like this guy so fucking much?
I think Schroeder could be good on this team. I really like the fit, and I wouldn't like him on most teams, I don't think, but even in the World Championships, like, they built that whole Germany team around him and Franz, and he was cooking. Like, that. I thought in the playoff series, I thought he really bothered the Warriors. I thought he did a nice job
played his
on
ass
Curry.
Off. You're right.
I thought he did a really nice job on Jamal when they... You know, Jamal was awesome in the playoffs, but there were one of the key moments that happened in one of those Denver games was, didn't he get kicked out? He got into it with somebody, or maybe it was Golden State. He got kicked out of one game, and you could feel the difference with the Lakers. Like, he was like a pit bull in those series. I just think he's going to, you know, he's a really smart, kind of old school foreign point guard.
So you're going to take him over?
I'm taking over.
Oh, wow. Look
yeah, I have them you in the playoffs.
All right.
I think they're going to be all right.
I have them over.
Grady Dick, excitement level. Is there a white guy resurgence right now? Pritchard gets a contract, Grady Dick. Teams want TJ McConnell. Hero's got a chip on his shoulder.
Hayward's
Kevin
expiring.
Kevin Love's back with Miami. Hayward expiring. Are white guys back?
Not yet.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and we're going to do the Southeast. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How you doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Are you like me, where you're looking at April and you're just thinking, man, there's a lot of sports. There's a lot of podcast content. There's a lot of stuff to watch. I got to make sure I don't lose control of the narrative here. Got to spend time with the family. Got to unwind. Got to spend time with my friends. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up heading into the summer. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time, but therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And when you're feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can give you the help for the tools you need to take care of yourself and recharge, because a full battery is the key to a full life. You're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/BillSimmons today to get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/BillSimmons. This episode is supported by State Farm. If you've ever been in an accident and you're okay, but you know what happened, your first reaction is going to be, man, why did that happen? If you ever buy a new house or a new car or a new anything, there's this little rush you get when you're like, I did it. I made it happen. But really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. Southeast, Miami has the highest over-under, 44.5. They were 44-38 last year. I got to say, this is an inexplicable over-under to me. And I think there's a lot of disrespect to a Miami team that I know I'm Dr. Loomis in the Halloween franchise, just warning people about Michael Myers every year. But man, this team. So they lose Strus and Vincent, and they don't get Dame. And the natural instinct is to go, write them off. They're done. Well, they're fucked. I think they're fine. And I think Hero, I love every single quote I've read from him from the past 2 months. He's fucking pissed that he was in trade rumors all summer. I think he is the number one chip on the shoulder guy in the league right now, for maybe not the talent of some of these other dudes. But I think he's approaching this like, I want to show everybody night after night that I can't believe Portland was like, nah, that's not enough. Lowry's in a contract year. Jimmy Butler is in his, you know, he's about to hit his mid-30s. And, you know, I think considers himself now as one of the best guys in the league, which he should. But Hawk has coming in. Duncan Robinson, who they're able to resuscitate. People like Jovic. I think Russillo likes Jovic. They still have Bam. They still have Jimmy. They got Caleb Martin with some real sea legs under him now. I think this team's going to be pretty good. I think, to me, this is like a mid to high 40s for me. And I didn't even really blink. What'd you have, House?
Well, the win total is 44.5, and they won 44 last season, but their expected wins based on point differential was they had a negative point differential.
Because they won all those games in the clutch. So the, you know. But that's part of what makes them the Heat, is they're smarter than everybody else, and they win games.
They have a top 10 defense every year. That's why, because they have a top 10 defense every year.
They have the best coach in the league.
I'm not so sure that a motivated hero is what this team wants or needs. So.
I'm talking regular season only.
I understand.
I'm just trying to win regular
season. It's just hard for Hero like to go, I can't believe all the disrespect, but it's like they made that run without you.
And he's like, yeah, but still.
I'm just like,
who says no? Hero for Harden.
I would do it if I were Philly. I mean, but again, who are you asking here?
To me, I'm trying to get, if I'm trying to get Harden, if I'm Miami, that's Lowry for Harden. And I'll throw in something else.
Good luck.
Lowry, no, but I'm not
Lowry
giving
and
up,
Robinson?
I'm just not giving up Hero for one year of James Harden.
Here's what sucks for Miami, is they spent all summer thinking this was going to happen, but although I don't think it to the level of, like, clearly when the July conversation happens at Summer League where they're not even close. And, you know, on the initial conversation.
But by the way, it was late June. It wasn't even July where they think Dame is headed their way, probably starting around
the draft.
Yeah.
After the draft.
So like June 28th.
But there's like a couple different times in the timeline there where then they're like, they met in Vegas. And then it was like, wait, you're asking for Bam again? Because I always felt like, hey, don't. There was a bunch of Miami stuff after the fact of like, oh, well, they weren't serious. They were asking for Bam. Like, have you ever heard about a Daryl Morey trade rumor request?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of these guys, this is how they operate. They start there. Now, if Portland had its own motivation to not want to do it, you know, we've already been over this a million times. But the backcourt situation for them, look, it's an over for me. They mailed it in last year and got to 44 wins, okay? So that's the number, and it's the division. And so you're like, look, Butler is older. I think Lowry's kind of close to toast. I mean, he had a couple nice playoff moments, but, I mean, what are you really penciling in there? Because they did all this waiting, and I, you know, again, I don't know at what point they realized they were probably out of it. They missed out on other options, and then, you know, Strus is gone, Vincent is gone.
They can replace Strus with Robinson.
Strus was nice for him, though.
I know he was, but like, I mean, there's a reason Strus is going to replace him.
Sure, but there's a reason why Strus is playing over him, because Duncan felt like somebody that could be targeted, despite when he does have it going offensively. Like, he had some really nice possessions for him last year. So look, it's an over for me, but I'm not going to beat myself over the head saying I have to put them as a tier one East team with the other teams up there.
House, I love the chip on the shoulder, not just with Hero, but with this whole team, where it was like, they didn't get Dame. throw them in the fucking dumpster. And I think they thrive on that and they care about it. And I'm just not writing them off.
I'm not. The single biggest factor for me is Spoelstra.
Yeah.
We just took a 2-month tour with that dude. We just watched him do it to us, right in our face for 2 months. So, yeah.
Would you, all right, so say they had gotten Dame. That means Milwaukee's the same. It means Boston's the same. Who would you pick to win the East?
What do they get? So if it's Lowry and picks and they turn that into Dame?
No, Hero.
I'm sorry, Hero and picks.
Yeah, they do the deal that everybody in Miami.
The problem is the deal wasn't perfect because they still needed to match the Dame number. And the part everybody forgets with Portland when they talk about what they got back, they wanted to get rid of Nurkic. That was part of it. So his Dame plus Nurkic was like $68 million.
Well,
so
it also made zero sense for Sharp, Simon, and Scoot to be closing a game with Hero.
Right. But I'm just saying in a vacuum, like Miami would have had to take Nurkic back in the trade with Dame.
All right,
which means they would have to do Hero and Lowry and Jovic and all their picks,
which they could have figured out a way to do. But I'm just saying, like, if Miami has Dame and whatever pieces around it,
I probably would have
still picked Milwaukee or Boston.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, because I think the stuff they would have had to give up, I'm not positive that would have cemented it, but who knows. We'll still hear from Miami this year because they still have their picks. They have that Lowry expiring, which they can get a whole bunch of things back. I think this is a possible Harden team. We'll see how it goes. Also, I'm not ruling out Donovan Mitchell for this team.
Interesting.
I'm just not.
I would add to that, like, once they'd missed out on Dame and then it was like this list of all these players Riley couldn't get, I felt like that was getting a little unfair. It's like, well, because
Riley got LeBron and Wade in the same summer. Riley pulled off Jimmy Butler, and I'm still trying to figure out how he got Jimmy Butler for Josh Richardson and Hassan Whiteside and a couple picks. Like, how the fuck did that even happen? Mitchell for a Hero and a bunch of picks. If the Mitchell thing goes sideways, I still feel like it's sitting there. The Atlanta Hawks, 41.5. Plus 220 for the division. 49-1 to be the one seed.
That seems tough.
Minus 200 for the playoffs. They were 41-41 last year. And Vegas is saying, we're only going to spot them a half game. House, what are your thoughts?
This is one of my favorite overs of the entire upcoming season. And all of it is because of the respect that I have for Quinn Snyder. We had a conversation earlier today. Why do we think that Quinn Snyder chose this situation rather than waiting and seeing what other kind of opportunities came up? And
his wife loved Atlanta. Well, this loved it.
It's literally the answer, right? That's the answer.
It makes more sense than the other answers that would be basketball related, but
happy wife, happy life. It's like when Kyle opens a bar in Poughkeepsie, same thing. She loved it there. Kyle, if you do that, I'm honestly going to kill you. Anyway, House.
Do I overestimate?
The great thing about bar ownership is that when you can finally afford one, you're like, I shouldn't do this.
I'm too old. Wait, how late are these nights?
You've learned. It's a bad investment.
The Z tapes have been light the last couple Sundays.
Speaking of bad investment,
okay.
Do we believe that Quinn Snyder can make Murray and Trae Young work?
So you haven't committed to an over and under yet.
I said
said
outset,
over. Okay.
It's one of my favorite overs on the entire board. And I love the idea of them, potentially at those odds, winning the division because, something could go south with that Miami situation and Atlanta is well poised to fill in there. Getting rid of John Collins was addition by subtraction.
Yeah, they had too many guys and they had to fix the minutes. What do you have, Russillo?
I like the over here, and I feel good about it. I think they were kind of a mess again last year. Look, I've covered all my Hawks thoughts.
Yeah.
But I think they should be good enough to get 42 wins in this conference. So that's kind of what it comes down to. I mean, hell, the playoffs seem to be different because Trae will have these moments where he's still going to scare you a little bit. I think we've learned that, whether it was the Boston series last year or New York, but I don't know. There's some weird numbers you go through it. Like Trey and Murray on the floor together is like only a positive, like 1.6 points better than the opposition per 100. And you're like, hey, that's supposed to be a bigger number with those two guys. And then the way they would try to split them up, like I kept watching all the different stuff. All I think is like, you know, Hunter's going to be a little bit better, maybe a little bit more Jalen Johnson, maybe a little more Sadiq Bey, maybe not having Collins sit in the corner and miss shots. Like, that ended up being a salary dump, man, after all the years of what they could possibly get for him.
Legitimate salary dump.
I think Quinn and the talent level, because I have, like, the talent on the team, that should be 42 wins for the Atlanta Hawks.
So I think this is my single favorite over of all 30. I've wagered on it. I like them for the division at plus 220. I think they're going to be a top four seed. And I just really like the spot for them. Because
so
I think the regular season...
Boston, Milwaukee, Miami, or Boston, Milwaukee, Philly?
I think Boston, Milwaukee, Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Atlanta, four.
Wow. So you'll have Atlanta over the Knicks, Miami, and Philly.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense on your over-unders. Like, if I go back and think about...
I think they're this year's Sacramento, where I just think they're going to be a really good regular season team. The Quinn Snyder thing, even in the Boston series, you could feel it, because Boston fucking killed them in the first two games. Mm-hmm. Those last three games were good games, and they tested Boston, and they exposed some things that I think, you know, came back to haunt the Celtics in the next couple rounds. But... getting rid of Collins, who I like, was important because they had too many guys and nobody was happy. The Capella-Kongwu combo, that's a real fucking center combo. Those guys play together. They're like 22 and 19 a game. Like they, you know, they have, I think they overwhelm Miami in that play-in game. Hunter, we'll see. Maybe it's AJ Griffin in that wing spot. Maybe AJ Griffin's even a better bet. I still like the Bogdanović as the third guard with these guys. And from Trey, this is like a, you know, he takes a lot of shit. I could see him having a huge year, and I think this is going to be a hard team to play.
We already know he can put up massive stats, but it's going to have to feel like...
But can
like,
you not go... Right. I think the most they've ever won was 43. They had that run in the playoffs. I like this team, and the Quinn Snyder thing is the number one reason for me, because I just don't think they had good coaching. I don't think Lloyd Pierce was a good coach. I don't think Nate McMillan was a good coach. I think Nate McMillan was better than Lloyd Pierce, who was terrible. But for the most part, this team just always looked like a mess to me.
Maybe, but I also know this team loved going to the media telling everybody it was the coach's fault, too.
That's true. So from a Trey standpoint, this feels like a fork in the road for him in a lot of ways this season. I know he's young. I know he's got years ahead of him, but... you get to the point where you start developing bad habits as a player. And if you're just a good stats, mediocre team guy, you kind of just end up that way. You know, he's been in the league since 2018. So what are you? Can you make other guys better? Is it just everything has to be built around you? How do you measure success? I just think this team's going to rise to the occasion. I like their rebounding. I like Bay on this team too.
So you think he figures out how to be the guy where it's not just the numbers, where it's like everybody's.
Yeah, like pick your spots. Yeah. And that's where like somebody like Quinn Snyder, I think, could really help him. Right?
The quiet.
Sometimes that's not great for us if you take 31 shots. Right? I know you had 40 tonight, but, you know, this and this and this didn't happen.
Maybe so. the you know, Patty Mills doing some veteran stewardship.
I'll tell you another thing for the chalkboard, for the whiteboard for Atlanta. I wanted my big FanDuel boost this year, which I've won the last 2 years. I wanted it to be Celtics 50-plus wins, Lakers 45-plus wins, and Atlanta 40-plus wins. And it's like the way it gets boosted would be around plus 250 when we end up doing it. And they asked if I could replace Atlanta with OKC because they said Atlanta was not a popular team with the betting public. Put that on your whiteboard, Atlanta.
Well,
they're like, put OKC in there. OKC is a little more lovable. People don't want to bet on Atlanta. Maybe that was an actual gambling take from FanDuel.
Well, it's their book, so it's their number. So you can't blame them.
Like, they just said Atlanta. People are like, eh. Feel like they know it.
Tiny juice on the over. Minus 112 on the over.
All right. We're all going over on Atlanta. That's definitely going to be a lock for me. Well, now it gets interesting. Well, we have three teams left. You know what? Actually, let's do Charlotte first. Well, and then we'll finish with Orlando.
I thought
Washington.
You said it gets interesting.
Well, that's I'm going to get Charlotte out of the way. Charlotte's over-under is 31.5.
No Kai Jones.
So Kai Jones is gone.
Gone.
And the over-under did not move.
Has anyone ever requested a trade and then been cut?
How about 30 for 30 about the Kai Jones book night draft? The 11th and 19th picks? Just 0-2.
I like book night. I knew Kai Jones. It was limited. But like his journey over the last couple months was fascinating. Leave it at that. The number didn't move.
I predict his social media presence to maybe be even a little more extensive than it's been. So starting five of this team looks fine. LaMelo, Rozier, Brandon Miller, PJ Washington, and Williams. It's like, all right, that's solid on paper. The bench, it falls off a cliff. Hayward's probably their best bench guy. This was a violent under for me. And then it's been a sexy analytics team. Pretty much everybody is saying over for this, so the over 31.5. I just don't personally see it. What do you think, House?
I'm on the over, and I think it's because last season I'm treating as an aberration.
They're 27-55, and LaMelo missed at least half the season.
I think that they're the team, you know, a couple years ago what did they win? 43 wins in 2021-22, and then 38 wins.
Yeah, I forgot to mention the Bridges coming back, so... You could say four of the five starters from the 43-win team from 2 years ago are back. But the conference was also worse 2 years ago.
Right, because when you go, all right, LaMelo played 36, Hayward played 50, although what do you really
pencil that? Pencil the 50 in every year for
right,
Hayward.
That's true. Bridges plays zero. You're like, wait. But if you go back to 2 years ago and then won 43, I thought that was one of the most impressive seasons anyone had in the league.
Yeah, you were saying that at the time. You were like, this team is the all-time overachieve. This is
unbelievable.
A 25-win team.
They're in all these games in the fourth quarter. That's why I just thought it was like, of course, Jordan would be like, oh, Borrego, we got to move on. But like, do you realize what this guy has helped you do? And, you know, LaMelo playing 70 games means what? I mean, he has been statistically better than I thought he'd be. He's more fun. He's in a weird lane where he's like a rock star of a player because of the way he plays and the personality and
the social media
and
pieces
everything.
Of it.
But you know,
LaMelo Ball is a problem. Hashtag problem.
But clearly, like, there needs to be something else to his game to round out like wins or losses here. And he's kind of avoided all of this stuff. Like, he's gotten all the good parts.
Yeah.
But I think
there's
a lot
some
of
appalling playmaking at the end of games. Like, so, appalling.
I don't know. Like, I imagine him being around for the full season. It's weird because for me, the first time I was like, oh my God, it's a 30. And then I started digging into it a little bit more. I was like, am I actually going to say over for the Hornets? And I'm not.
The Miles Bridges piece too, where he's going to be playing again. And it's going to he's going to go in every city and there's going to be a big story in the newspaper and it's going to be a sports radio thing. And I don't know, players that can go either way with how it affects people.
So that's 50-50 to me. Because I don't think anybody gives a shit about the Charlotte Hornets.
Well,
that's
might
not
be true.
They're not coming to town and there's a story about this guy.
He hasn't played in 2 years and he's going to be one of the most villainized guys in the league. And how that affects him, I guess we'll see. Just talking about it from gambling purposes.
I understand. I bet it hard. When it was at 30.5, it's at the book right now at 31.5. It's still an over for
God
me.
Damn
I think
it.
They
Why
have
didn't you
seven.
Tell me? I would have talked you out of this.
No. I think they have seven guys that can play. And 30 is such a low bar. I'm
for them to hit this, Brandon Miller has got to be good immediately. So, Russillo, I defer to you.
Well,
because I think that's the way they hit
right. That's exactly. That's,
if he's
that's
like the legit good, like even like a little better than Keegan Murray last year in the Kings.
And I think he's going to be really good.
Well, so then maybe they hit it.
But by the way, Bridges played in 21-22. He played 80 games, and he was awesome.
He was 20 points a game.
Yeah, 27-4.
Yeah. The season he missed was last season. He didn't miss two seasons.
He's been 35% from
he's
going to
make $40 million a year.
All right, so you guys are going over?
I think I just switched it to over.
I'm
can't
definitely
believe
over.
It.
I
just
am.
Did it.
I'm going under. I just can't live with myself otherwise. This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. Whenever someone mentions spring, you can't help but think of the word fresh. Spring brings fresh air, fresh beginnings, freshly cleaned homes. It's also a really great time to take a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. I use it in my home and absolutely love it. By the way, summer's coming. No better time to maybe dip in to our friends at Simply Safe than when you're leaving your house, your condo, your apartment, wherever you live. You're probably going to go somewhere for a while. Maybe it's a week. Maybe it's 2 weeks. Guess who's going to know that? Burglars. Simply Safe, great, because it protects your whole home. Uses advanced sensors and a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Keep watch over your property day and night. 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. You can even check it out on your phone. Gives you peace of mind. You want peace of mind? Try Simply Safe today. Risk-free, no contract, 60-day money-back guarantee. Get 20% off your system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/BS. That's simplysafe.com with two I's, simplysafe.com/BS. There's no safe like Simply Safe. This episode is supported by State Farm. If you've ever been in an accident and you're okay, but you know what happened, your first reaction is going to be, man, why did that happen? If you ever buy a new house or a new car or a new anything, there's this little rush you get when you're like, I did it. I made it happen. But really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. All right, now it gets fun. The Orlando Magic. Steve Cerruti in the house for this. He flew cross country just so we can talk to him about the Orlando Magic over under of 37.5. That's not the only reason he flew across country. We also wanted to see him. Wanted to feed him. +900 for the division. Just mentioning that. +172 for the playoffs. Last year, they're 34-48. And house, it's only four more wins and they hit the over. What do you got?
I'm not just saying this because Rudy's sitting here. I like the over.
Okay.
I like this team.
All right.
This is also one of these ones where their best player just was on a massive stage.
Both of them. Two best players.
Sure.
Yeah.
One's better than the other, though.
Franz
is better. Yeah, Franz is better. There's no argument, right?
Nah, right now. An argument, but
I think there's an argument. I think Paolo's going to be awesome.
He's going to be awesome.
Franz is better right now. Paolo's 20 years old.
Yeah, that's part of the thesis for why there's a leap still for Paolo.
Yeah.
And he got that time. He was on that stage.
Well, we found out in the World Championships that him as a five is the destiny of Paolo, but that's probably 2-3 years away with the muscle and stuff. Russillo, what do you got for this 37.5?
Because they're still so young, I was like, wait, can you get, 38, 39 wins out of this team? But you know what? I started thinking about it. Like, if I'm that high on Paolo, like the second year guys that are special, like that's kind of when it happens. And they played so many teams so tough and they still didn't really know what the rotation is. And I think they may just collectively be like, hey, we know we drafted a lot of you guys. And again, that's sort of the Anthony Black, Suggs, Cole Anthony, Markel Fultz, like who's getting the opportunity. I don't like the Howard pick at all. But Franz and Paolo are that good. They just are. And so I was going to say under, but I'm going over.
I was leaning toward under, as I told Cerruti before the podcast, but I have too many unders. And at 37.5, I need one more over.
If they were 30 wins, I go, man, that's a pretty big leap. Like, think about all the times you were watching them late in the year. We're like, they've figured something out
well,
here.
You I and I were this. Talking during the year, like, we were saying, like, man, if there's one team that's better than their record, it's probably Orlando. They had big wins against good teams. They lost some last second games. It worries me with the guards because you have.
But they might just say, screw it, and be like, we're done pretending that. This is an equal opportunity position thing this many years.
I think that would be smart.
Suggs, well, Anthony Black, and Fultz. And Fultz is in a contract year. And I actually like what I saw from Fultz last year. I think Fultz.
Cerruti's the Fultz is good guy, and he's been right about it for a long time.
And Jonathan Isaac potentially coming back. I'm going to go over only because I think those two guys are going to play the for 6 months and give a shit the whole time and be in games and have a couple nice big wins. It just worries me. It looks a little too obvious.
I think we won. We picked the over last year, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah, we hit it.
One of our locks, I'm pretty sure.
We hit it.
We loved Orlando last year.
So this is a Paolo Franz bet. I also really like Franz for most improved because I think that could...
No, insulting that is a Cerruti.
No, remember SGA won that year when he jumped to like 27 points a game? And he was already good, but then he had that stat jump.
Right.
And could Franz have a stat jump?
Like that? I don't know. You'd have to be the only guy and have the ball every time.
His most improved odds, I think... The only reason I liked it was because they were pretty high. Yeah, he's 30-1 for most improved. I could see it. All right, Cerruti, what do you got?
I mean, they started 5-20 last year. That was mostly
because 5-20.
5-20, and that was mostly because Fultz was out, and they were like, "Hey, Franz and Paolo run the show," and they weren't really ready to do it. They finished 29-28. I mean, that's on pace to be the 6th seed, the 7th seed,
and the conference is worse.
I think that middle area is a little bit, because it's that middle area is dense. There's a lot of teams that are kind of the same. The Pacers are in there. I mean, their best case scenario is like maybe Brooklyn, Chicago, maybe Toronto. Two of those teams maybe just drop off and they get into the play-in.
I mean, their number is higher than Toronto's number.
Yeah.
The issue is they still struggle to score and they still don't. I mean, I've been saying this since 2010, it feels like. They just don't have enough shooting. And they, I don't, maybe Jet Howard solves that. People didn't like that pick. I don't know. I'll wait to see what it's like. The number seems right. 37.5 seems right around where they'd win. But I mean, every play-in team last year had 40 wins. So
yeah,
I think it's more likely they win 40 games than it is they win like 33. So I you know, I'm biased, but I would lean over.
There's a piece of it where I just want to root for it because I know I'm going to love this team as a league pass team. It'll be a top five for me, and I don't want to be in the back of my head rooting for the under. But I believe in the Franz-Paolo combo just being a bitch to play over the course of 6 months because we're going to have that midseason tournament in December, and somebody weird is going to end up in there out of the eight, and it's going to be a team like this that just has two young players.
And I think the cool thing, too, is those guys are willing teammates. Like, they've already gotten past the stuff that maybe frustrates me with other young guys where the only way they think they can contribute is by shooting.
I don't feel like I'm betraying Steve Kerr. He was so impressed by Paolo and just thought the guy's going to be a beast. And he probably said that publicly. But I think that whole coaching staff was like, Jesus, holy mackerel. Like, what is this guy going to be? Because they all think he's going to be a five. I don't know how many years down the road it is. But when you think like he's can't even legally drink yet, what's he going to look like down the road? The beating people off the dribble stuff last year from him was just breathtaking. We talked about it a lot. There's going to be a physicality to him as he gets bigger and as he puts on muscle. And then the Franz piece, like, I don't know how good that guy can be, but he would be on the short list of who can jump up and suddenly become an all-star. The stuff he was doing, I know it was the world championships, but the stuff he was doing was, like, really high level. Like, they were running everything through him.
That's the poise point is the thing to me. And then that's what, you know, Cerruti's observation about how that team was had a winning record for a sustained run. That's because Franz Wagner has the poise. They could run.
They're going to rebound too. The shooting is going to be the issue. And you know, to me, it's more likely somebody like Suggs is just all of a sudden better than he was last year, or Fultz in a contract year, whatever it is. So we're all going over.
We're going over.
Cerruti, you're like too afraid to go over.
What could go wrong? I think the number's really right.
Okay. Well, the number's really right for our last team of the preview, the Wizards of Washington. 23.5. Last year, they were 35-47. They are 13-1 to make the playoffs, House. Here's the starting five, as far as I could tell. Tyus Jones, who's just on eBay right now. Just like, does anyone want to trade for a point guard who's been in some big games? Jordan Poole, who Kevin Garnett unironically asked, could he be used like James Harden on Houston? It was an actual podcast moment. Corey Kispert, who has some nice shooting percentages. Kyle Kuzma just got paid, and Gafford. This team is awful, House. Why do you think they can go over?
Because this team is not any worse than the team that the Washington franchise put on the floor last season. Talent-wise, this team, I would argue...
The 35-win last year team.
But
that team
right.
had Porzingis scoring 23 a game.
Well,
and Beal.
Kuzma, they had 40 games of Beal last season.
So part of House's premise is Poole can replace a lot of the Beal stats.
He can replace all of them.
He'll certainly replace the field goal attempts.
Kuzma was the guy who got the touches at the end of the game, not Porzingis. And it was proper.
Winning recipe there.
He's a lot more... The reason that I love this is because 23.5 is so low.
Yeah.
It's they have three guys that are professional guys that are auditioning for their next situation. Tyus Jones, Jordan Poole, Kyle Kuzma. They're not motivated.
The big three.
They're not motivated to go stink, though. They're like competent. They're not incompetent. And DeLon Wright is going to be a tremendous asset for somebody. Look at that guy's advanced metrics.
Bob always loved him.
He gets his hands on balls, you know, better than a Kardashian. It's an amazing skill set. He's tremendous at this. Don't sleep on my guy, Koulibaly. Bilal Koulibaly.
Yeah.
They actually, I think this new regime in Washington hit a draft pick.
Yeah,
is crazy long. Has tremendous poise. He played with Wemby all year last year. He's not afraid of nothing. He thinks he belongs on a professional basketball
court.
There is
some quotes coming out about him from the players and coaches that are like reminiscent of the baby rhino stuff with Jalen Carter and the Eagles.
Sure.
Where the teammates are like, this guy, Jesus, holy mackerel.
They suck, dude.
They suck. Don't misunderstand. 24 wins is a W, though. 24 wins.
House, you're not getting to 20.
Here's the reason.
You won't get to 20 wins.
They will start tanking at the trade deadline when most of these guys are gone.
They're going to go like 2 for 28.
55 games between the start of the season and the trade deadline. So if they win 20,
this is the first time I've ever been worried about you as a Washington
basketball
fan. If
they go 20 and 30 through the first 50 games,
they're not doing that.
Why not? Why can't they?
Because they're not good.
They don't have any...
There's not
even like a possible all-star in this team house.
Well, Jordan Poole begs to differ. And he's going to
show
you...
What are you talking about?
Jordan Poole is going to show you that he's got... He was just... They were holding back. Steve Kerr and Draymond were holding back in Golden State.
I actually think Jordan Poole, now that Dinwiddie looks like he's not going to have the ball enough, Jordan Poole is going to be our number one, his teammates hate playing with him guy. That's my prediction.
I liked it. I read an article on Hoops Hype that Danilo Gallinari said he couldn't wait to play the Celtics.
Oh, revenge game with Gallo?
What are you mad about?
Yeah, they did tell him that he was staying. How about Johnny Davis? You didn't mention him.
He's an unmentionable.
House, you missed on like five straight first round picks until Koulibaly.
It's a whole new thing.
We don't even know that that's a hit yet.
But I'm just at least giving it a do not know.
Kispert.
I kind of like Kispert, but didn't they take him like ninth?
Took him too high.
Yeah.
He can shoot, though.
Russillo, is this 2024 stealth trade machine team? Feels like there's going to be a lot of trade machine action with this team.
Yeah, but I don't know, like, what do I want? I don't want Poole's contract, and I don't know that I want Poole in a... Me against the world Tupac season, you know, that's the other part.
I know. And
Koulibaly's going to do whatever he wants to do. So based on watching him play, I like Gafford. Kuzma's actually been pretty good for him, you know, and he got paid and maybe there's something there. But yeah, I think a lot of teams will call about Tyus Jones.
I think Poole's on the team the whole season, just for the record. I think with that contract, yes. If he plays really well, though, and his shooting percentages are close to what... Because he shoots...
Then keep him.
We keep him. And maybe he's either a cornerstone piece as you grow,
I hate to break it to you.
His contract will be cheaper either way. No, his contract is going to look good in a year.
If he's a cornerstone, you're keeping him. If he's not a cornerstone, you're not going to be able to trade him.
I think they are going to be able to trade him.
The three people in your life for the next few years are your wife, your son, and Jordan Poole. That's how it's going to play out.
I'll invite maybe him over. He can have Chipotle. We like Chipotle at the house household.
I just don't see it. I'm going hard under. Possible
You're locking
lock.
It?
Possible
Fine.
Lock.
Fine. Go ahead.
I don't
I
think
just
I'd
think they
lock
get the first,
it.
They get the pole position in the lottery with this team. I don't see a worse
There's too
team.
Too many professional players.
They're over under is four wins.
Yeah, you're comparing it to like Hinkie's Sixers experiments. I think that's what's throwing you off here.
They're better than the Spurs. House, they're going to be more competitive than Portland.
House, your over under is four wins lower than every other team in the league.
I think that's a mispricing.
This is fascinating now. We've got some serious Wizards
usually
takes.
He's realistic with the Wizards, too.
I also, yeah, I think the
Something's
other thing
going
is
on
that
with House.
You're
we
got
to talk. Like,
there's
tonight.
Nothing here that's core. There's nothing here that's like, hey, you know, even with Wembanyama, San Antonio, even last year when they were tanking, they were still running stuff offensively. They were like doing things.
Yeah.
I think Detroit actually planned on being a lot better than they were last year, but then Cade goes down. There's not one guy on this Wizards roster where I think they're going to be like, well, we got to make sure we set the standard immediately, even though it's a really good front office.
Who's your coach, Hess?
Until Junior.
Did you have to check?
No, I knew it was. I wanted to make sure I didn't say Bickerstaff because we had a long run with Bickerstaff. He's the other worst coach in the East. Wes Unseld Jr. is the worst coach in the East. And then Bickerstaff is the second worst coach in the East.
All right, I'm going to recap our over-unders. And then we're going to do locks. Celtics, 54.5. We all went over. Sixers, 47.5. All went under. Knicks, 45.5. Three overs. Nets, 37.5, all under. Toronto, 36.5. I went over. House went over. Russillo under. Miami Heat, I went over. What did you do on that one? I didn't write it down, Russillo.
Over.
And you're over as well, House?
Yes.
Okay. Three overs for the Heat. Then the Atlanta Hawks. We were kind of giddy about them. Three overs. Orlando Magic, 37.5. Three overs, but I think probably because Cerruti was here. If Cerruti wasn't... There's an alternate universe where Cerruti's not here and maybe we're arguing more about the Magic.
I did change my mind on it.
That's fine. Charlotte, 31.5. Russell and House went over. I went under it. I don't feel great about it.
I don't feel great about the over.
Yeah, I just wish they weren't in the league. Washington, 23.5.
Lock.
Under for me and Russillo, over for House. So there you go. All right. It's time for the locks. House, what do you have for locks out of the 30 teams?
How many are we doing? What's the right
you
number?
You can do one, you can do three, you can do five. I'm probably doing six.
You're doing six, my God.
Well, I did seven last year. I think I went 6-1. I'm good at these.
My locks.
Best there ever is, man.
One of the best.
Atlanta over is a lock for me.
Is that a lock for you, Russillo?
Not a lock.
Okay.
Let's not lose our minds here.
Oh, well, it's a lock for me, and it might be one of my favorites. What else, House?
I can't do the Hornets, but I really want to do it. But I'm not going to do it.
Just do it, you wuss.
I'm not going to
do it. Do it, you coward.
I love the Pacers. The Pacers is a lock for me.
Okay. They're a lock for me as well.
Add me to the list. Okay. We love some Pacers basketball on this podcast.
All right, Tyrese.
That was my favorite one.
It's a good one. It's too low.
It's too low.
We're all in agreement. It's too low.
House? Who else?
I am on the Suns under. That's a lock for me.
Oh.
I'm not, I mean, we did it last year. Eddie, you know, makes fun of the podcast for it. It's fine.
I'm not going to do a lock. I really like that under, though, for them.
Who, Phoenix?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's good.
It's really good, but I'm not going to lock it because I don't feel as strongly about it as the other ones, but I really like that one. All right, what else, House?
I'm only going to do four. It's the Clippers can forever fuck off lock of the year. The Clippers is a lock under for me.
Okay. Russillo?
Denver over lock.
Okay.
52.5. New Orleans over lock. 44.5. Pacers over.
Yep.
And I'm just staying positive here. Miami over.
Okay.
And then Dallas over. No net, no unders. I don't want to be negative.
Dallas over.
That's amazing.
This year.
Positive guy.
You're up to something.
How many did you just do?
You did five.
I want to add one more.
Okay.
Boston over. I do believe in Boston. I looking down at my notes, I left it off. The Boston over. I love the Boston over.
I'm just stupefied by Dallas for you, Russillo. So you're saying Kyrie's going to have a normal season?
No. I've never guaranteed that. I just think
it's
that
just Luka, a blind Luka bet.
It would be a blind Luka, kind of like everything they did around it. And he comes in more motivated than ever before after last season being that disappointing.
My locks are, weirdly, I think all overs. Lakers over 47.5. Oklahoma City over 44.5. I'm really jealous of houses Phoenix under, but I'm not going to do it. I am going to do under for Portland at 27.5 because I think that team is built to not be good this year. I have the Atlanta over 41.5. I have the Miami chip on their shoulder over 44.5. Us against the world. Fuck you, 45-37 season. I also have the Indiana over 38.5. And I would have had the Philly, but it dropped enough that I don't feel like it's a lock. Because if Embiid just plays, they were so good last year that there's a world where they figure their shit
Maxie,
out.
Maxie, even if Harden's
around. That's a stay away to me. I really want to do Washington as an under lock. Should we just do that as a fuck you to house?
Yeah, put me down.
Go ahead.
I'm down
fine.
Too.
It's fine. I did not give my Washington pick as a lock.
All right. Me and Russell are under 23.5 lock.
Fine.
The Wizards.
Fine. Every W I'm sending you. I'm going to create a Twitter X handle for it.
That's it for the special three-part over-under extravaganza. That was really fun. We kept good time. Russell stayed engaged.
He's still not coming to dinner.
Stayed awake. And that's it. Thank you so much to Steve Cerruti for flying out for us. Thanks to Ryan Russillo as well. And don't forget to listen to the Ryan Russillo podcast. Don't forget to listen to Joe House and the Mirror Gambling Show on Fairway Rolling. I will see you on this feed on Thursday. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. You can call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. Call 1-888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.